Our second scripture reading from the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And when they were together for the last time, they asked, "Master, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Is this the time?" He told them, "You don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. What you'll get is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all over Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the world." Here ends our scripture reading, and you already understand the title, the theme, Enabled to Witness. Brothers, sisters, friends, every time you and I say, "I believe in the Holy Spirit," we actually mean that we believe that there is a living God able and willing to enter human personality and to change it. This is a mouthful. Let me repeat. We mean there is a living God able and willing to enter our human personality, yours and mine, and to change it. Without the Holy Spirit, God remains far, far away. Without the Holy Spirit, Christ is somebody of the past. And the gospel is a mere relic. And the church is simply an organization, a kind of authority, a matter of social control. And that makes mission a matter of propaganda, and the liturgy no more than an imaginative recreation. What about then of Christian living? Well, then it becomes nothing but a kind of a slave morality. That's without Pentecost. That's without God's Spirit. However, Pentecost is the fulfillment of a final promise from the lips of Jesus. And he promised his followers, "What you'll get is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be able to be my witnesses." You see, it does not mean that you and I are going to receive some personal power for moral and ethical achievement. It's definitely not that we're going to be better people or that there's going to be any personality development and self-assertion. None of that. No. The Bible says, "You shall receive power to witness." This is to say, you shall receive power to share the message of the Christian faith. Now, some of you may already be disappointed. After all, who needs power to witness? You see, many of us think, well, if you want to tell the story, just tell it. Get on with it. You don't need any power from heaven, any Holy Spirit to do that? Or do you? Well, it isn't that simple. There is, and we're all aware of it, I'm sure, a kind of enabling us, a kind of an encouragement, a kind of a power that comes to us that we desperately need. And it's also absolutely necessary to have that presence inside in your life if you are really to overcome a sense of self-disqualification or unworthiness. Or some people may even say, now who am I after all that I should be talking to other people about the faith when God knows I have so many problems of my own? I certainly am not perfect. Everybody knows it. Everybody can see it. I have enough difficulty with my own life. Who am I to speak to others about God? You see, and so we go through a sort of a ritual. We spend our time getting ourselves straight because we have the illusion that once we have straightened everything else going on about ourselves, only then we believe we will be qualified to speak to others about God. Bible says, you shall receive power to witness. You shall receive power to witness. Now, of course, we need power to witness because being strong enough to witness means a lot of things. One is that we will have to overcome prejudices against a large number of people to whom we do not speak at all, much less talking to them about our Christian faith. So Jesus promised strength, ability, power to witness. To Jews, first of all, he was speaking to his followers who never really actually lived in Jerusalem. You see, they actually came from Galilee, a province far away by those day standards. Sort of safe from the violence with the Romans in Jerusalem. And now, they had hoped when they came down to Jerusalem with Jesus that all of them would go back after that time, after that horrible week, back to the relevant safety of Galilee. And here comes Jesus, and he tells them, he instructs them to witness right there in Jerusalem. Now that's tough. After all, wasn't Jerusalem the place where he was arrested, where he was killed? What a command. What a Pentecostal command. But I can just imagine that maybe they were thinking, well, we are courageous. Yeah, we'll be somewhat scared. But okay, Master, we can and we will witness in Jerusalem. They've dealt with that. Jesus went on, and you shall be my witnesses in Judea. Well, that's a much bigger territory. But I think they thought, okay, Master, we can handle that. Because we're all Jews. We have a number of friends, not only here, not only in Galilee, but in the entire Judea. After all, we know those people. We speak the same language as they do. Okay, yes. Yes, Master, we can do it. But Jesus went on. And you shall be my witnesses in Samaria. What? Samaria? Hey, wait a minute. Samaria is where those people live with, who are, you know, half-breeds. See, they speak a different dialect. Worst of all, they have different political views. They even have a different religion. Master, are you sure? You surely meant Samaria? Yes. Yes, that's what I said. And to the ends of the earth. What? You mean among heathens? Raw heathens? Oh, yes. Are we to witness to heathens? Yes. And suddenly, when you hear all this, we begin to realize that we do need some form of power after all, don't you? This is not human without God in your life. At each step of the way, the barriers were there. The barriers were real, and they did not come down easily. At first, you see, the members of the church were only Jews, comfortable with each other. And then some outsiders began to filter into the church. Even those who were called Greek Jews. Yeah. Many of the Jews in those days lived far away from Jerusalem. They actually spoke Greek, not Hebrew. And one thing about them, they were far more liberal, having accommodated themselves to the ways of the Gentiles. And in that early church, tensions and quarrels developed. And then, next, that you read that one missionary, we all know his name, was actually baptized and brought into the church on their way to Damascus. Coming into the church, Samaritans. You know what the old people said? What on God's earth is happening to our church? Then Gentiles, here they come. They don't belong here, but here they come. Because God empowered us to bring the message of salvation to the ends of the earth. Italians, Turks, Greeks, Romans, all of them. God, what's happening to our church? That's what the old people said. This was not an easy journey. At every step of the way, the prejudices were strong. The tensions were deep. The arguments were heated. So much so that the first conference the early church held was to discuss the whole issue. And there were important questions asked at that first general church meeting. One group said, Are we really going to continue to bring into the church all these different kinds of people and even regard them as equals? Cannot be. Seemingly immovable stood the ancient walls of language, of custom, of dress, of food, of social and economic structures. Jesus said, "But you shall receive power," referencing the day of the Pentecost that was about to happen. And when the book of Acts ends, something interesting has happened. You can see that if you read through the book, the church has moved all wider and wider from Jerusalem and finally landed in Rome, the then capital of the world. All the barriers that were there are still there. Rich are still rich and poor are still poor, black and white, male and female, young and old, labor and management, hawk and dove, the barriers are still there. But so is the promise as well. And when you and I sit comfortably in the wonderful church that we all love so deeply, we need to hear the promise. The promise. It's still true. Jesus said, "You will receive power." That promise lies there, often unclaimed, but still available for those who would receive it. Only one question remains. I thought about it. I wrestled. Prayed. But the question remains, and it has to be heard from this pulpit this morning. Are you still interested? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, today, now we celebrate your Spirit. A Spirit which unites your people everywhere, people of every color and of every nation. We celebrate the peace of Christ that ties us together, enabling us to be agents of reconciliation in this church and in the world. We celebrate the Spirit that moves us to nurture one another, to challenge one another, to celebrate with one another. O God, may the mighty wind of your Spirit lift all of us to higher visions, to greater dreams, and to a renewed strength to make those visions and dreams a reality in this world. O God, Holy Spirit, open us today to your new creation. You seek to bring about within, among us, even to the furthest ends of the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, breathe on me, breath of God. Fill us with life anew, that we may love the way you love and do what you would do. Breathe on us, breath of God, until with you we will be one will to do and to endure. Amen.